long broadcast proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Hallelujah. It's good, isn't it? I feel that we need to talk again about healing. Let's go through Isaiah 53 and then later through Isaiah 54. Healing chapter and chapter where our favorite scripture verse comes out, Isaiah 54 and 13. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Hallelujah. What a great promise. And we're all the children of God. We receive Him and His promises through faith in Jesus. I noticed that the number one prayer request that comes in to this ministry is for healing. I wonder why that is. Well, of course, people need healing. I wonder if they don't realize that they can pray for other things. I'm surprised at the prayer requests for children that don't come in. The other category of prayer requests so far that we get, and this is very small in comparison to prayers for healing, are prayers for other people's children. Other people's children who are not doing well, not well behaved, and obviously so. Then people ask me and my team to pray for. But by far, it's problems with health. And often I cannot tell from those requests if they are actually for healing. Often it's, well, so-and-so has X diagnosis, so please put her on your list. And this is part of the evidence for why I think the Holy Spirit's saying, let's talk about healing again. We need to go back to the scriptures and talk about health, healing, and wholeness. For shalom, wholeness, total well-being, total well-being. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And that includes prosperity and academic success and learning abilities as well as health. All of that is included in shalom. And so God has healing for us. This is the fundamental message of Christianity, that God wishes the best for us and by grace gives us abundant life, which means both eternal and everlasting. It means here and now also, as well as relationship with Him and going to heaven. It also means a good life now with persecutions. Okay, so I want to be sure you understand about healing. And yes, I am eager to pray for you, but I am more eager to teach you how to pray effectively. And you will be able to pray effectively if you understand God's heart of love for you and God's promises and what has already been bought and paid for you. If somebody buys a gift for you, pays for it, buys it, brings it to you, wrapped up, then what would you do if someone handed you this kind of wrapped up present? Well, you would take it and unwrap it and I hope thank the person and use it. You would not just go ho-hum. No, you would find out what's in that box. And so I am encouraging you to find out what are in the promises of God. And we find that, of course, in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. So I would like to talk about healing and how to pray for healing effectively. And of course, it is reasonable for somebody to say, please put us on your list, because I do have a list, because I have a number of prayer requests. But it also concerns me, because effective praying is not simply getting your name on some lists and having the church then put in their bulletin this list of names. That's not effective praying. That, in fact, is an insult to God, as if God didn't exist and the best we could do was to comfort ourselves with the idea that at least someone is remembering to think about us. No, prayer is a much greater than that. Prayer is talking to God. Just like if your daddy was the king of the universe, exactly like if your daddy was the king of the universe, and then you would go and sit in his lap and say, Daddy, by the way, I love you, but Daddy, I got this problem, right? And the king, because he's the king of the universe, can fix the problem. Well, in fact, he already has fixed it in terms of healing. So it's not about, oh, put me on your list, right? No, it's about let's pray together and receive what has been given. And therefore, we need to know what has been given. Also, effective prayer is not, okay, let's bombard heaven. If what that means is let's work and work and work and strive and strive and strive and be really emotional and hope that we change God's mind, because God's mind doesn't have to be changed. Now, bombarding heaven is correct if what you mean is you're going to demolish Satan, but that's a different heaven. Okay, so I'm all for fighting Satan if that's what you're doing. But we don't need to twist God's arm because God has already given us healing. And so let's go to the scripture first so we can go to the throne of grace with confidence and with faith so we can pray in faith. So let's turn first to Isaiah 53. And oh, I would like to read all of this to you. I think I just will. Okay, let's start back in Isaiah 52. Let's just start in the verse 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Isn't that what we saw in the resurrection? Yes. So verse 14, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I think this was aptly portrayed in that movie about Jesus that we saw a few years ago, how he was so bloody and so battered and so marred. But the fact that he had all sin on him, everybody's sin, was more than any one man could bear. And that, I think, was his greatest suffering, that his father had to turn his face from him, worse than his flesh being ribboned and blood flowing. Verse 15, thus he will sprinkle many nations. You see, he was our lamb, our sacrifice for our sins, as was portrayed all through the history of the children of Israel. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him, for what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. And may it be so. May all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And he is worthy because he was the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 53. And who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Is that not what we say today? Who has believed our message? May we be believers in the message. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The Lord is strong and mighty, and his arm is mighty to save. You see, this is the deal. You know, with his finger, he created the world, but with his arm, he saved, because there was some resistance in our salvation. We needed to be rescued. We needed to be pulled out of the mire. And he is mighty to save. He saved us with his arm. Has that been revealed to you? I pray it has. That you have seen the salvation, the rescue, the new life has been given to you. If you have seen that in your own life. For he, we're talking about Jesus now, grew up before him, the Father, like a tender root and like a root of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Oh, how true this was. Jesus, the dear one who came and who lived for us, who healed all who came to him, who cast out demons, who taught, who poured out his time, his life essence while he was walking around on earth. He took sin. He took judgment when he was completely innocent. Not only in the tribunal of the Sanhedrin, not only in the court of the Romans, but also in the holy court of God. For us, he was forsaken. He was rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. He took ours. That's great news, because then we don't have to bear them. He took our sorrows. He took our grief. And thus he is honored now. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Under Jewish law, anyone who hangs on a tree is accursed. And so he took all the curses of the law, even that obvious one, and he carried our griefs, which might also be translated our sickness, our sorrows, translated also as pains, he carried. He carried away. He himself, on himself, carried us. God incarnate, very God of very God, come to earth, lived as a man, if that was not humbling enough, took our sin to the depths of hell. He took our sins, our punishments, and we are healed spiritually. And we are given new lives. In fact, our spirits are born in him, in his resurrection. But you know, the crucifixion wasn't only the cross, but also the scourging. That was not just a front to the cross in those nails, but also a back to the cross in the whipping. He took our sicknesses and our pains away. Verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Our transgressions, those things which we transgress, we disobey the law of God, and our iniquities, where we worship some other small g God rather than the true and living capital G God, our Father. Hallelujah. So he was pierced through for our transgression and crushed for our iniquities. He died for our sins. Most people do understand this. So receive it. If you understand this, that he took your sin away, receive it. Don't go around under condemnation. Don't go around under the lie that you are now separated from God. No, he paid for all of your sin, all of sin that you ever will commit, ever have committed, and those of all people. It doesn't do them any good unless they receive it. So you receive it. He died for our sins. Hallelujah. And we celebrate this. We celebrate across the world. People know what Easter is about, that Jesus rose from the dead after having been crucified. And therefore, Christians believe that they're made right with God. Their sin is taken away, not just covered over by the blood of goats and lambs, but taken away by the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Christ. If he took away our sins in verse 5, then equally so much he has taken away our sicknesses, our pains, our weaknesses, our griefs and our sorrows, in verse 4, equally true. So therefore, believe it. Just as you can know and yet not believe, not receive that your sins are taken away, similarly, you can have heard that Jesus has taken away your sickness and not believe and receive it. So we go back to verse 1. Who has believed the report? Believe. And following on in verse 5, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. The chastening for our shalom, that's the word there, shalom, our well-being, our peace, our prosperity, nothing missing, nothing broken, fell on him. Those stripes that needed to be done to purchase well-being fell on him. But they did fall on him, and he was scourged, and he was crucified, and he was dead, and he was buried, and he was resurrected in his body. And therefore, by that scourging, we are healed. This is the clear word of Scripture in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. It is not reasonable to suppose this is about anyone else. And all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And sometimes we've even touted it, do your own thing. Well, that's fine for you. You can have your path, but I'll go on mine. Well, all paths do not lead to the same place. And that's completely ridiculous. Who would suggest that Hitler and Mother Teresa ended up in the same place? No, they had their own paths. And they don't leave the same place. Each of us has turned to our own way also, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Jesus bought salvation even for Hitler. Hitler didn't receive it. And I trust you don't think you're as great a sinner as Hitler. So I would say that maybe you ought to receive it. And I trust that Mother Teresa did. She was a follower of Jesus. And I trust that you are too. Don't you want to follow Jesus? Don't you want to have peace, shalom, total well-being in your life? Well, of course you do. And the good news is that it was bought for you. It was bought. It was paid for you. And that purchase price was received. We know this because Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered sin, grave, hell, and sickness too, by the way. Amen. That is what we believed. That's what we have been taught. And let's skip down to verse 10, although each one is so precious. But the Lord, this is the personal name of God, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered among the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for transgressors. And then going on to verse 1 of chapter 54, shout for joy. Amen. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus was raised in triumph for us. Jesus was raised in triumph. So your sicknesses were healed and your sin was taken away. So receive it, because this is the gift of God. I charge you, receive it by faith. Let's go to God in prayer now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God and Father, for your great, mind-blowing plan. Thank you, Jesus, for your ultimate obedience, your ultimate humility, your ultimate love for us. Holy Spirit, help us to understand this is more than our minds can fully comprehend. But help us to receive what we do comprehend. Lord, we receive it. We receive your love. We receive your plan. We receive your guidance. We receive your salvation. We receive that our sins are forgiven and we are made right and close and one with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just say, God, I receive your gift. I receive your gift of salvation, of saving, of rescue for me from my way, going the wrong way to destruction and be turned around. My way of life that was a mess to be given new life, the life of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. This is awesome and great. And Lord, thank you that also in the great package was healing for our bodies. And ultimately, we will even live in glorified bodies. But Lord, we receive this gift of health from you. We receive the gift of health. We receive the gift of pain gone. We receive the gift of wellness, sickness gone. And we receive that also for our children. As we are brought into a covenant, both we and our household shall be saved. For we pray for our children and we receive it now by faith. This is what the word says. We rebuke the enemy who would give us some other image. We don't worship or receive false images. We believe the word of God. And just as our sins are forgiven, we are made whole. We are made well. We are made strong in mind and body. Hallelujah. Because by his stripes, we are in a state of healing. We were healed by Jesus' finished work in his scourging, in his crucifixion, and his resurrection. We receive it, we declare it, and we will not change, but we will live and speak and move in a line with this word of God. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for friends who agree together with us. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you even for the times in our own life where we have seen miracles of help and healing and wholeness. We thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our heart. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You are worthy, and we praise you. We praise you. All honor and glory and power, praise and exaltation be unto the Lamb of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that fun? That is great fun. Would you like to do that some more? If so, please won't you let me know? We might be able to find a way to pray together. I do have some resources to help you learn and to encourage you to pray together, if possible. So, yes, we take prayer requests, and I am honored and delighted to do that. But also, I want to encourage you to pray, and I want to teach you how to pray in faith. And that's why we're talking about Isaiah 53. It's very important to understand what the scripture really says so you can pray in faith. We please God when we receive his gifts, when we receive his grace by faith. So I encourage you to do that, and you can go on our website and find so many resources. I have some free prayer tools that you can print off and use to pray. I have a book about praying that can be used as a group book if you would like to use that with your group, and have lots of other resources. But feel free to contact me with your needs also. So GreatShalom.org, www.GreatShalom.org, www.Great, G-R-E-A-T, Shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M, for all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. That's in Isaiah 54, which we will soon see. And of course, you can write me regular mail, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Do write me, let me know how I can help you. That really and truly is the desire of my heart. You know, I've studied all my life, and if I could just share with you what I have discovered studying the word, and what I have discovered praying, what I have discovered being a mom and a teacher, and just would love to partner with you and help you. And of course, be happy to have you partner with me and help me in this mandate that the Lord has given me. And we are a 501c3, so if you'd like to donate, please feel free to do that either online at www.greatshalom.org with PayPal, or directly at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And we will believe with you and pray with you on the promises of God.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to The Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
Of course, I encourage you to pray for yourself and for your children. It's not about control. It's about praying in faith. I think praying for children is often overlooked as we go about our busy lives in the modern world and economy, and as we focus increasingly on ourselves in our church life, we forget the power and the necessity of praying for our children. But it's such a blessing. It is such a blessing, and it's one that gives us great returns. How many testimonies have mentioned the fact that, oh, I had a praying mama or a praying grandmother? So let's be that kind of praying parent that leaves a legacy, a spiritual legacy for other generations. Thank you very much. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.